Have you ever thought God to be unfair or unjust, or like Jonah, have you got angry with God for what he's done? It's interesting because in Jonah's time in the Old Testament, it was known that Nineveh was a city, a place that us church folks wouldn't go to, right? We wouldn't be there. And it was understood that if they continued to live the way they would, God himself would make them pay by taking their lives, and there would be no more Nineveh. But something happened. What happened? They repented. What's repent mean? It means a turning around. They turned away from the old lifestyle they had, and they took on God's law and start to live a new life. And a miracle had happened. Jonah got to be part of that. He tried to escape it before he ever went. And then Jonah was mad. How be it that God would let these people live? How be it that Nineveh would still be on the face of the earth? And then he looked like, whoa, look at me. I just want to die. Gets a comfort of a tree, and then God sends a worm. He eats the tree, and oh, look at me. And then we come to a New Testament passage, and this was one of my favorites. When I was in business and dealing with HR issues, it's amazing if you deal with people and you deal with wages. This one always stuck with me. Because people would come for a job. We'd advertise what they would get per hour or a salary. And it wasn't very long. Some could be as much as a day. And the employee would come back and complain. Not that they had a job, but that the amount that they were receiving wasn't good enough. Wasn't that they had a job. Wasn't that they agreed to the wage. Somebody somewhere, and we have all those policies in the companies, don't tell anybody what you make, right? And what happens? Oh, blah, 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 somebody's making this money. It got so bad not long ago here that after with COVID and everything that people were going through, on the healthcare side, it got so bad it was hard to find workers that would take the risk to deal with COVID, and businesses looking not at losses, but looking at paying people fairly. I was managing one organization, very big organization, but one sector of their place, and I noticed that people's wages, they were taking care and doing things, but they had not changed. People were making less than 10 bucks an hour. And we say, how can that be? Nobody's looked at it. It took me over a year to get the company to look at what we call market rate. What would it cost us in the market to replace that person? Can I up wages to what I would consider market rate? The people don't understand how much work that is. If any of you have done something like that, it's a lot of work. And it finally got approved. But what amazed me was the attitude of people. For over years, 8 years, 9 years, some of these people had not received any wage increases, were working what I consider under what we would see as a fair wage. Now we put everybody to what we call market rate, meaning whatever that position somewhere else similar is making, we will adjust it accordingly. So some people who are even less than $10 an hour now are making $15 to $16 an hour. Pretty drastic change. And that's a burden upon the company because that's going in operating and you've got to adjust other things to compensate that. But what amazed me was the people, when we changed their rates, work performance didn't improve. They were still on their cell phones when they shouldn't be on their cell phones. Certain shifts would find places where we had empty rooms or something and take a nap. People would come in late, some supervisors, never be in on time. They're the ones who are asking for help for their staff. And so there was really no productive change, even though we changed the wage. And so I used to use this a lot when I counseled with people who were employees. When you hired in, you agreed to a denarius. A denarius at the time is what your wages would be for the day. You perform this work, this is what you receive. Notice in the first part of this New Testament passage, the denarius was a negotiated rate. He's talking to the workers, and he makes an offer. They accept that offer. How many shop for clothes? I know you're wearing some. You shop for them? Yes? When I worked in the retail side, it was interesting. We sell a shirt. Shirt could be $25, $30 if it's a nice shirt. You look at it, you buy the shirt. Later on sometime, if those shirts don't move, we have a thing called a sale. So we reduce the price of the shirt. Now, the person who had bought the shirt for $30 is mad because we ended up, now it's on sale. Some were brave enough to bring the shirt back and ask for a refund so they could get a shirt that might now be on sale. Then we had things called in retail sidewalk sale. Anybody's had a sidewalk sale? You know what those are? Used to be you put the clothes outside on the sidewalk on racks and you marked the prices way down because it hadn't moved, time to get rid of them. Make something before you just toss them. Some people would buy sidewalk sale. And guess what others would do? Bring that $30 shirt or whatever to bring it back so they might find one on the sidewalk sale rack. The question you have to ask, when you saw the shirt, were you satisfied? Did you want it? And if you missed the sale or missed the sidewalk sale, why are you mad at the store when you already had made an agreement that you liked it so much you would pay for it? That's the mindset I have when I look at this verse or this passage. You agreed at first for a wage. We had no arguments, we had no disagreements. You said for a day's wage, you would work for this amount. And then it's interesting because when you're a landowner or you have or you manage, you are in charge and sometimes you have the freedom to make decisions to get things done. So look at it this way. There's a vineyard. We have to have that vineyard tendered. It needs to be done today. I hire workers I think they can get the job done. We make an agreement what they're going to get. We send them out. Now, I go by and I notice there's some other workers later in the day. Now, it doesn't look like we're making a lot of progress. I'm not blaming anybody. We're not blaming the workers. We're not blaming the conditions. It's simply, I know I have the means, and so I'm going to hire another group of people. And they come in, they help out, they do their work. But notice the second group and the next groups that come along, we don't agree to a payment plan, do we? He says, I will do what? I will treat you fairly, justly. There is no argument. I don't think we could do that today. But here we go, and they agree to go to work. Happens again, the third group that comes, he sees people standing around not doing anything. It doesn't seem to be their fault because they say what? There is no work. We've waited, we've stood in line. If you see the old migrant workers and stuff, they used to line up, the truck would come by, and it would pick the people up that wanted to work. Jump on the truck, got work for you, let's go. Still happens today, especially like ranchers and stuff like that. They may pick up a group of people. But later on, nobody was picking anybody up. They had what they wanted, but there were people in need. They needed work. There are still people today in need and want to work. And so the landowner says what? Go. Go on out there. Go out in my vineyard and do some work. Now payday comes. We all look for payday, don't we? Remember those days? You know, we used to be what? Middle of the month, the end of the month. We'd be looking for that day. We'd look on our calendar. Oh, can I squeak by and get to that payday? This was kind of nice because it seems like they got paid that day. Go work, you get your pay. Sometimes we try that as a benefit for employees, but I tell you, it doesn't really work too well because they spend it so far, and then when it comes to they got to pay their bills, it doesn't work. But here, this is what was going to happen. So he tells the foreman, and you might think whatever his plan was, others were going to see, because he says, pay the what? Last ones first. Now, our psyche would say, nah, wait and pay them later. Everybody be gone. They got their money, and it's not going to cause a problem. But he doesn't do that. The ones that came in at the end of the hour, went out to work because they didn't have any, he paid them a what? A denarius. Others, he paid a denarius. And then those that had worked all day and had signed a contract or made an agreement, what did they receive? A denarius. Now, in the human flesh, we have a problem. Jonah had the same problem. And it was a problem where if I don't see a benefit or be treated differently, that's not fair. And I have seen people use this scripture and say, here's a proof that God is not fair. You want to know what really this story is about? This story is about blessing to those that accept the work of the cross. If you accept it as a young man or a young woman, and you live for God and you follow His ways, He has promised you the blessings of heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. I also forgive you for all of your sin. Maybe you didn't sin a lot as much because you accepted the work of the cross when you were young. But you still receive what? The blessing of heaven. And that's been the agreement in a sense, hasn't it? The promises of God, I will send my son, he will come to die, he will take away your transgression, your sin, and you will be before a holy God cleansed. Now, what about somebody in their teens? I don't know what age you were when you accepted the work of the cross. But what maybe when you were a teenager and you got to that point where you could decide as a young person, yes, this is something I want to follow. I went through confirmation. I went through catechism, whatever it might have been. And I found out what mom and dad believed. I believe too. And I want to follow God. I want to be that man or woman of God. And you receive what? The blessings of heaven and the blessings of a servant of God. Now, what about your deathbed? I have seen people ask for God to forgive them for their lifestyle and the way they live at the end of the journey. And guess what they receive? They receive forgiveness, and the promise of heaven. Now, in our mind, it's very difficult sometimes to put in place that God has offered His gift of salvation to all mankind. I have a problem with certain people that have done certain crimes. I don't know how God does it. But He has. And so what really is this to tell me? It means that, as we've talked many times before, your relationship with God Almighty is individual. And a blessing is for all that accept the work of the cross. And who is it that we should say to God Almighty, these people deserve your salvation, and these people do not? And that was Jonah's problem. Why is it that he should say, oh, I'm going to bless and praise God that over 3,000 people, the nation has changed, and he should have been so excited that he was part of that work. But he couldn't get it past his mind that, in his mind, they didn't deserve it at all. What about us? Do we say sometimes God is not fair? Romans tells us that we have all earned a wage. And that wage, it says, you have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. Didn't say just for some. It said for all. For all of us have sinned. And our wage is death. But in the grace and mercy of God, He has forgiven those that will trust that the work on the cross was a way that God would now look at them as if they had not sinned. Was He just to save you? Was He fair in offering salvation to you? There is none, me, everyone included, not one that deserves the mercy and grace of God. And it doesn't make Him fair. He said, it makes me good. Don't I, as a creator, your Father, have the right to bless who I want to bless? Yes? And everything that we have on the spiritual side is a blessing and a gift from God. Nothing anyone has done has earned them what they're getting. And that's what He was trying to tell these workers, tell the disciples as He went out. As the landowner, can't I be good? Can't I bless? And so as we look at it, never think God's been unfair with you. God has been good to you. You may experience things in life that haven't been so pleasant, but God is still good to you. You may have things that have come that have hurt your heart, but God has provided us a comforter, and God has been good to you. Can you say today, God has been good to me? Can you say that? The way we will heal hearts, the way we will bond in Christ as brothers and sisters in God, is to say that God has been what? Good to me. How did you get through this moment? How did you get through this loss? How did you get through this pain? Because God has been good to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We're thankful that You don't measure in the sense of fairness, because if You did, all of us would be remained lost. But You're a good God, gracious God, full of mercy, and we appreciate Your love for us, that it's not things we have to do, it's just a simple acceptance of God's goodness towards us. Let us be mindful each moment, each day, and when we walk out of this building, God has been good to me. When we talk with each other or we see a brother and sister down, let's talk about God's goodness. It's not issue to be fair. Issue is goodness of God. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.